Tony, thanks so much for coming.
That was Tony Jones, by the way.
Tom, Ellen, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah. This
I'd hold off on that judgment, by the way. You never know.
It's early.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Early times. The plan was launched at Kozel's at a breakfast at like 8:30 in the morning. Which
Ellen,
is,
can I suggest we step back a minute and explain what exactly we're talking about here? What is the CEDC and how? I'm sorry.
I'm getting there.
Okay, you're going about it in your way.
I got it.
Sorry. I back off. Sorry. Oh my gosh! I already started. I'm going to go turn the air conditioner on. Okay.
Please. Okay, Tony. Yes, perhaps our listeners should know what the Columbia Economic Development Corporation, which is a weighty-sounding organization.
It is. It's been around for about 30 years. It's a public-private partnership that works with the Columbia County Board of Supervisors. We also help administer the Columbia County IDA and the Columbia County kind of the IDA for nonprofits, mm-hmm. which is the Community Resource Corporation.
IDA being Industrial Development Agency.
Correct. This is such alphabet soup territory. Everybody goes by initials.
I know.
Well, the CRC, the Resource Corporation, helped the library, not the library, the hospital.
The hospital
for
was
example.
The last.
Our listeners don't know any of these.
Any of these terms.
No.
I barely do. I'll try and steer clear of them. But CEDC is right. much handier
there you
than
go.
Saying the whole Columbia Economic Development Corporation.
One thing about the CEDC I think that people need to understand is that it is a private organization, and even though it works closely with the county, it is not a branch or an agency of the county.
It is not an agency of the county, correct, but we are under the authority's budget office of New York State, which requires that we transact our business in a very public fashion, that we're completely transparent about what we do.
Does the county contribute money?
Yes, they do.
So it's some of their money. That's probably why you have to follow those rules, right?
Well, any public authority right. under falls under the authority's budget office, and we're of our we get about $430,000 from the county.
Did
typically.
You take your ABO training yet?
Yes, I have.
Good man. Ellen, you're up on your ABO.
I took it before I went through it because I was on the board of the city IDA.
There you go,
Hudson IDA.
Yep,
for a while. Yes, and is it fair to say that there was a bit of a shake-up in the economic development world in the county a few months ago?
I think that would be remarkably understated. it would certainly be fair to say. We got a little unraveled there at CEDC because the transition to the authority's budget office and the public authorities really happened only in the last 4 or 5 years. And as I said, when I started, CEDC has been around for 30 years. So there was a period of time when, frankly, the organization didn't do a good job of adapting the kinds of policies and visibility that it should have.
Yes, they never really learned about arm's length transactions and conflicts of interest.
Yeah. It's not that actually so much that there were conflicts of interest, but there's certainly the appearance of them
right.
because people, you know, they acknowledged it, but they didn't remove themselves from the room and certain things that you absolutely need to do.
People,
so,
go ahead.
I was just going to go on to say that there was some outcry about that. We had some public fire. The county suspended its funding for the organization. From my point of view, the fact that it was kind of came to such a point of crisis was actually a great opportunity because
sure.
it allowed us to reformulate the agency pretty completely. We've expanded and added to the board of directors. We now have a very diverse swath of people from representing all kinds of business interests and nonprofit.
Well, that's
interests.
Important because, you know, when I talked to one of the former CEDC members and his response was, we were talking about one of the recent controversial transactions, and he said, but you don't understand, these are like it's just we're all friends. I mean, how can we recuse ourselves? And it's like, well, maybe you should widen your circle of friendship.
Exactly.
People don't really understand, or many people don't understand conflict of interest. It doesn't mean you have to act on the conflict of interest, but if there is a conflict.
Or a potential conflict, you have to acknowledge that.
But
I'm constantly reminding Ellen, you know, she brings up the Hudson Opera House, and it's just like, enough already. They got $8 million. Sorry. Sorry, Ellen.
And Tom has so many friends that he's always in conflict.
Oh, my life is a conflict. You kidding me? With myself. I hate myself.
Anyway, but yeah. It's if there is a potential conflict, then it has to be stated as a conflict. It doesn't mean you act on it or you do anything that you shouldn't because of it, but it is there.
Right, and the thing that I would point out is I think there are always going to be conflicts of interest. You know, this is a small county.
Sure.
It's 62,000 people. There are not a lot of big businesses, you know. And so when by the time you collect, we have 17 board members, 3 ex officio, 20 board members, it's going to be hard to bring up a subject or discuss a business
need
without touching someone.
Yeah.
And so I think it's, you know, important to acknowledge that, yes, there are always going to be conflicts. It's how they're handled.
Right.
It's
exactly.
How they're handled.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that I don't know, remember, Ellen, when we here in Hudson, when we had the Hofstra students consulting, the dean himself of Hofstra Law School said to us, you know, people should they don't have to abstain or recuse themselves. What they should just do is announce what it is that makes them recusable or abstainable and then decide whether they want to vote or not. Because
right.
In that case, you're actually, you know, when you're talking about representative government, you're actually taking away a vote by abstaining
right.
And not representing your
community.
Constituency, so at the same time, just say what it is and then vote or
right.
Not.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think
just thought I'd throw that
in some instances, the board itself or the body that you're part of votes to say whether they think this person who has the conflict should be able to vote or not.
Right. And because, you know, everything goes back to the authorities. An attorney who gives you know gives counsel whenever a board member requests it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, often the you know you have a person who owns an insurance agency on the board, right? Well, they might have 250 clients.
Mm.
If there's a client that lives there a bit, is that a conflict? You know, it really is the question of whether it reaches a point of materiality.
Yeah.
Also. And that's what the our counsel advises us on.
Right. Well, back to the strategic plan. Did CEDC have a strategic plan in place before this one was put together?
It's had bits and pieces, but nothing collected as a strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
And when we met with the county and we got our problems ironed out and signed a new contract with the county going forward, we promised that we would prepare a strategic plan, and it really has two functions. One is to provide some kind of visibility about what our priorities are going to be for the next 12 or 18 months, where we're going to put our energies. But the second thing is that also creates a way to measure whether we're doing what we say we're going to do. One of the difficulties of economic development, it's very difficult to measure. Yes, you can measure jobs. Yes, you can measure capital investment. But it's not quite as straightforward as you would like to think. And
mm-hmm.
So we have here four pillars, and we have 3 objectives under every pillar and 3 or 4 bullets under each objective. So that, you know, kind of creates a grid that we can go back to. You know, in 6 months, in 12 months, in 18 months, and say, look, what have we accomplished on this? And it gives us as a board an agenda, and it gives the public a way to judge how well we're doing what we say we want to do.
Can we step back a second and ask Tony what his background he brings to this?
Sure.
To the board?
Of course.
Okay. My main background for this is as a business owner in Columbia County for many years. My wife and I owned and operated the Independent newspaper, which we sold in 2001, thinking we were securing a long and happy life because we sold it to a big corporation, which 7 years later went bust, unfortunately. And luckily, Parry Teasdale, who was the editor at the time, has spun off and has a paper going, so we haven't lost the Independent voice entirely. But I always felt with the Independent that there was such a sink between economic development and newspapers, because what a newspaper does is it holds a mirror up to the community and lets it see what its reality is and what its ambitions are. And that's what economic development is. It's a way to fulfill your dreams, whether you're an individual business owner or whether you're a community. And that's one of the lines I like to have, is that, you know, it may take a community, you know, to a city, a village, to raise a child.
I think I've heard that before.
But it takes a whole community to figure out what kind of future it wants.
Right.
And that's what this plan was about, was to involve, you know, a much broader group than just our board and our few friends in deciding what the county should be working on, what it should look like. And if I may, I could go back and say that, you know, we had several working sessions with the board. We reached out to lots of partner organizations, including the chamber. We had a public meeting at Columbia Green Community College that was attended by more than 100 people. We reached out to all the board of supervisors, to all the school superintendents, to nonprofits of many different sizes and businesses across the county. And we did a survey on the internet that people filled out. And out of all that is what this contributed to this plan.
In the past, it seems to many people that the focus was on big companies that could bring in a lot of jobs and, you know, be a real important force in the county. Do you think that have you changed that focus? Was that focus too narrow? Is that an accurate view of what it used to be?
Possibly. I mean, that was always the hope, you could land a big fish. But, you know, the catch-22 for Columbia County is it's got a very low unemployment rate. So you bring in a big company with 250 jobs.
And they can't find people to work for.
Where are they going to fill the jobs? And even the profile for the counties that have for the companies that are here now and have jobs, you know, there's a lot of in-migration to bring people
That's
in.
That's the Etsy phenomenon in particular. Yeah. They had a hard time filling many of the jobs locally.
Etsy has people coming from Albany, from Kingston, from Great Barrington. And so you think it's great to have a low unemployment rate, but it limits your opportunity. And so one of the things that we want to focus, you know, much of our attention, our two main things are supporting entrepreneurship and micro businesses of all sorts, and helping existing businesses expand, you know, add a new line, you know, add on to their buildings, find a new market. New York State has lots of support for reaching global markets. So, you know, we facilitate a lot of that kind of, we're in some ways a concierge service for businesses that want to know what kinds of help they can access from all the various state and federal programs.
What I've noticed is that some of the more successful projects recently, like two in Hudson here, one, of course, being the WIC Hotel, the second being the proposal for the CAS building, both of those companies that have come in seem to know how to negotiate a lot of these things. And I think what you're saying is important, because it's the smaller businesses that have no clue about how to do that stuff, because, you know, they're not in that business, right, especially developers. They know, you know, most of them know about how to get public money or whatever, or support.
Right. But it's nice to be on the map of developers of that quality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which we haven't been necessarily in the past.
Have they contacted you, those various projects?
Yeah, we're in touch with certainly the Redburn people. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Hudson and the county, I'm always talking about Hudson because that's where I live, and it is the county seat and the only city in the county. Right. But it's changed a great deal probably since the last kind of economic development was thought of or looked at, because I think the emphasis, when you say bring in big companies, I think there was an emphasis on manufacturing and trying to bring manufacturing here. Mm-hmm. Well, we all know that it doesn't happen that way anymore.
Well, actually, let me kind of contradict
sure.
you a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Would you believe we have 77 manufacturing companies in Columbia County? The most accessible from the studio here is Saturn Industries out on Union Turnpike in Greenport. They have been, a very successful business here for 40 years or more. They do very high-tech work, and we have Plastics Industries. We have we have DigiFab. I love that company. So we have a range of manufacturing companies, and I think it's very important for us to support and try to extend those, because those are good paying jobs. You know, so much of the jobs that are being created now are service industry jobs, mm-hmm. and they don't come with a lot of benefits. They don't come with a high wage, and the manufacturers do provide that.
Mm-hmm. So you list in your pillar one four large projects that are underway. What's up with the goat genetics? Are we trying to cross them with humans or something?
Well, so we have Hudson Valley Creamery, which is a goat cheese creamery that went into the former Entenmann space down in Livingston, and they've been making goat cheese down there, and they make it with curd that's frozen and flown in from France,
because it is a French company.
It is a cooperative at that, and they are interested in beginning to work with raw goat's milk, because you can do a much greater variety of cheeses when you're working with the raw milk. And so they've gotten through CDC, helped them apply for grants, and they've gotten a $500,000 grant plus a $500,000 tax incentive. And they're applying now for one further $375,000 grant that will give them the waste management system. I mean, you know, so much of this stuff comes down to infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to do the waste properly.
These grants coming from the state?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we get that, if we're going to get that up and running, you want to have milk to supply, right? Well, in general, American goats supply about 60% of the milk that goats in France or in New Zealand, which has excellent goat genetics. And you can't just, because of international regulations, you just can't go in and pick up a herd of dairy goats in France and import them in the United States and put them to work. So there's a whole...
They might be Muslims. Or something like that.
Actually, the Muslims eat the goats that you don't need.
There's
a whole separate market there. The whole purpose of the goat exploration is to look at what might be done in Columbia County, but all within a 150-mile radius here, to create economic farms. And you probably need, and this isn't a hobbyist thing, I mean, you need 300 to 500 goats, maybe up to 1,000 goats to have a good productive working farm.
I thought maybe Tom could put a few goats in his backyard. He'd never have to mow the lawn.
They're great for that.
And
you don't have to anyway. Just let it grow.
One of the nice things about goats, by the way, not only are they smaller than cows, but they don't need the amount of outdoor pasture as cows. They can live indoors, and they don't have the same manure problem. It's a much easier manure It's a much more, it's almost more like rabbit pellets, mm-hmm. you know, so it's much easier to deal with.
Uh-huh.
So can I skip to the more controversial one? What's up with Ginsburg's? Now that the controversy happened before your tenure there, more or less.
Well, I was still on the board.
Oh, you were?
That was happening.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
You know, I know, let me just make one point about the Ginsburg, because I think a lot of the
blogosphere?
Focus, yeah.
Oh.
focused on the fact that CEDC transferred a piece of land to Ginsburg's for a dollar.
Right.
And the land had a value of $114,000 originally was what it had been paid for it. And I think the assessed value was a little above that. And you should know, first off, that the ABO looked at that transaction and said it was perfectly legal, perfectly within our purview. And one of the reasons that we did it was that particular site had a great deal of when they were building the nursing home up there, they did a lot of excavation and they put all the dirt up there. So in order to make a suitable building site and to provide for the road cut, there was $1 million of site work that needed to be done there that wasn't, you know, it wasn't Ginsburg's fault. They just... You know, that was the site, and that's what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt that it was a fair contribution on our part to get the project moving forward, to protect the 270 jobs that were here already and the 30 that were promised in the first phase of this, that was an authentic form of economic development. So that's what the backstory is mm-hmm. on that. Now, at this point, I don't know what's up with Ginsburg.
Yeah.
They have gone back to a reevaluation process when they lost that grant from the state. They were kind of in a bind because, you know, according to their bank financing, you have to start by a certain time. But if they start by a certain time, because the county hadn't done the economic impact stuff in a more timely fashion, they were in a catch-22. So they did what they had to do, and in the end, the grant went away. So they are in a process of kind of reevaluating where they are, what they're going to do. So I can't give you any information.
Oh, so it's not dead, but it's not. We don't know what the...
It's not active at the moment.
Active.
I think
this
will be resolved within the next 90 to 120 days, I'm guessing.
How many people work there?
Right now?
Yeah.
I think the number is about 270.
Yeah.
It's a big business.
And they're very, a lot of them are very good jobs.
Yeah.
They employ a lot of Hudsonians, by the way.
Right.
They've
been around. It's a 100-year-old company.
Yeah.
I mean, it's and one of the things that's disturbed me more than anything else, I think, speaking about the blogosphere, is just kind of the personal animus.
That NIMBY crowd.
That has attached to the Ginsburg's and the project. And it just, one of the things maybe it's just speculation or wishful thinking on my part, but one of my thoughts is that one of the reasons it got to that was that there was never a conversation.
That's right.
Where the
public
the antis and the pros sat down and at the same table and talked about it. And you know, again, there's no. Everything affects everybody, you know. There's no, and what I think we need to do, and what's in this plan in part, what we need to do is focus on the things that will do the most for the most number of people and get the most backing. I don't think it makes sense, frankly, to put a lot of effort into something that nobody wants. And if you look here, I think we've identified several things that we feel are very consistent with the values of Columbia County and what people want. One of them is trails, you know, outdoor
mm-hmm.
recreation,
mm-hmm.
And that form of tourism. I think there's we're a healthy society out here, and outdoors oriented people and those kinds of things are very important. Another one is local agricultural businesses. I mean, we're really having a renaissance in value-added forms of farming, and those act to preserve the rural landscape, the working landscape around us, and preserve the kinds of quality of life.
What kind of things can you actually do for small farmers? I mean, what examples of...
Well, number of things. You know, probably the most basic is that we have loan programs. Mm-hmm. We have both a CEDC revolving loan program, and we're the administrator for SBA loans. So we have two different loan
Federal
routes.
Small Business Administration.
Yes, thank loans. You.
Thank you, Ellen.
More initials flying around. So that is one of the things we can do. Another thing we do is we have what we call this micro business seminar program, which we run once or twice a year for budding entrepreneurs and a number of small farm or farm-related businesses have gone through that and found it an excellent way to launch themselves. What we does is I think it's a 13-week course that brings in a lot of outside expertise and teaches people how to set up their businesses, write business plans, all the professionals they need to interact with, how to do marketing, reporting, state wage. It covers the whole waterfront. And then when people are working on their, when they graduate from that, that's also a qualifier for receiving SBA loan monies. And we can further provide technical assistance once they're actually in business, if they're running, cross problems.
Here in Hudson, we have a lot of shopkeepers. How do they fit into this picture? I mean, is there really much you can do for a shopkeeper?
I think less for retail. Yeah. I mean, we do deal with, we have loans to Old Hudson, which just moved its, location. So we can, we don't say that they're outside that our realm. But in general, I think our focus is on, businesses that have, more waves of impact, ripples of impact in terms of jobs, salaries, and on the, effect on the community.
In your strategic plan, you do talk a lot about community and town development and the downtown areas. What kind of things can you do for that? I mean, what is that?
Well,
are there public things that you...
I think, the major thing we can do there is to be an exchange place. That there's... look around the county, and you have Valencia, you have Kinderhook, you have Chatham, Philmont, you have Hillsdale, you have Copaig, Ankrum's trying to have a little downtown area. There are a bunch of things that define how active you can make your downtown. One is, having infrastructure again. Comes back to things like, sewer, water, broadband, the access to those. It also comes back to, to programs. And it comes back to, kind of creative enterprise. I mean, Copaig, a group of Copaig residents, got together and made a group corporation and bought the old market in the center of Copaig. And it's now the Front Porch Market. Being operated there, and we have a round table. We've been functioning for a couple of years where we bring people together from those individual, I don't want to call them downtowns, but those main streets, and let them exchange strategies, identify problems that they can work on together.
There are facade improvement grants for downtown.
Oh, I could use one of those.
In Valencia. That's
my
for businesses.
Oh, I clear up these wrinkles.
That's it.
Really? There is such a thing?
Yeah. Philmont got one, didn't they? Or they applied for one?
And there's a very active private one in Valencia. We have one of the things that I hope that we can do with our activities going forward at CEDC is to bring more visibility and spotlight to the businesses that are really doing well and the, doing wonderful
the
things.
The Valacia thing you referred to, wasn't it's an outgrowth of the Tierra Farm people?
Tierra Farm,
yeah,
yes,
right.
And Gunther
oh,
Fishgold.
Right.
It's a fantastic
yeah, that's
business.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I love
incredible.
Their products, and they do a lot of things.
He's got a great business.
Yeah.
He's committed to the area. He's done a lot. He's in Albany as well, but he's taken a special interest in Valacia.
Mm-hmm.
He's got three other businesses in Valacia, and he helped start the Valacia Farmers Market. And he, out of Tierra Farms pocket, has made grants available to other business people on Main Street there to,
yeah.
you know, to improve. But, you know, I was watching a TV ad on one of the Albany channels for Tierra Farm and thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we had some kind of branding for Columbia County businesses, you know, made in Columbia County or
mm-hmm.
something, that, you know, local businesses that were advertising in that market would, you know, would brand with. And Gunther thought it was a great idea. So those are some of the kinds of things we can work on, too.
You mentioned broadband. Now, take me, because I really don't understand the whole thing, frankly, but I won't admit that. Does broadband mean the entire county, needs new fiber put into the ground?
No, there's a lot of fiber all around the county already.
Okay.
The problem is that it's owned by Verizon or, you know, other or Mid-Hudson Cable or private companies so that there's no ability to access it except, you know, for them according to their business plan. And as you know, you know, for cable companies in particular, you need 20 to 25 households per mile to make sense out of, you know, delivering broadband out to the roads.
So it is theoretically already available to the more concentrated areas.
Infrastructure
is right. there for it.
It's here, and you know, there's the only quarrel that people have in Hudson is that there's not more competition. It's all one, one company because they own the stuff.
But the problem we see referred to often is really getting it out to the more remote areas.
Absolutely, and there's so many. I mean, it's an incredibly complicated subject, and I've been spending a lot of time kind of getting up to speed on it, and there's so many moving parts. One of the moving parts is that out of the Charter Time Warner merger, the FCC is going to require that Charter invest certain funds in various parts of its network in order for the merger to be approved. So that means that $12 or $15 million is going to go into Charter's head in Chatham. And that should, that head actually serves down through Copaic, Taconic, Ankrum, and so forth. But nobody knows what it means, and it's going to take 2 or 3 years to get unfolded. So you're working with, you know, a lot of unclear pieces.
The state keeps allocating money for this, too. Is that money even if it's going to be a 2-year project, 3-year project?
Well, the last round of state allocation, the ground rules of the grant program, it just wasn't, from my point of view, mm-hmm. just wasn't very well considered. And nobody, it saved the grant just for the providers and put so many structures on the grant that nobody could access it. I mean, for example, one of the ground rules of the grants, you had to be able to bring new service to 2,500 households. Well, there are not any places in Columbia County where you can, you know, that aren't served now that you're going to bring in and reach 2,500. So there and there's certain state requirements that you work with, you know, a certain percentage of minority women-owned business and so forth. Those businesses don't exist, so you have to. That means that you're using a contractor from New York City or Buffalo, and so then it's outside the cost structures that anybody works with here. So I think the state understands that this hasn't been an effective form, and I hear that there will be a second round on this at some point in the not distant future that would be hopefully addressing some of those shortcomings.
Well,
so
I know broadband is very complicated. And there was a meeting recently in the Common Council chambers here in Hudson, and there is a young man whose name escapes me at the moment.
Alex Petraglia.
Alex, yes. And I think he's the one that offered to lay down the necessary fiber. No, it's somebody else.
He's not able to do that. There's a new element here technologically.
I thought we had the fiber there.
Well,
that's why I'm sort of confused.
Well, you do, but it's not publicly owned fiber.
Oh, I see.
That's the difference.
See.
Right.
You know, publicly owned fiber, then you can provide access to people.
Okay.
You can have competition that you don't have now. And there's a whole, you know, the new aspect of the technology is broadband over Wi-Fi, so that if you have, and that we have two companies here doing that, New York Air and ASA out of Chatham, that, you know, you can get broadband service that is over the airwaves, basically. So, again, the important thing, I think, as we go forward, and as with so many things here, is you have to get everybody on the same page. You know, that the county can't go off and do one thing. It's got to do what it's going to do in full knowledge of what the local individual providers are doing. Hudson has to know what the county's doing and vice versa. You know, the more kind of independent action there is, the less progress we're going to have. So, and I think that's true about a lot of things. I mean,
oh yeah.
Well, this is true just recently in our own little city, where a local supervisor and councilman decided to act on their own and threw everything into chaos.
That's true. That's true.
How you like that?
It does happen.
It's true, though. I mean, they didn't consult anybody, and this is why. Last Tuesday's meeting was a chaotic mess. You may have read
sure
about
was.
It.
It we're really involved in a collaborative sport, you know.
Right.
If we can't do it together, we may not be able to do it at all. We certainly won't do it as well.
How do you sense any feelings between the that the county has toward the city? Or is there any divide between the city and the country here in Columbia County?
You know, from my perspective, and I've been living in Columbia County since 1977, I think the relation between the county and the city is fine. It's good. It's better than it's been. I was pleased, you know, at the CDC annual breakfast last Tuesday where this was presented. We had both Matt Morrell from the County Board of Supervisors and the Hudson Mayor, Tiffany Martin
That's
Hamilton,
right. Yeah.
Both spoke. You know, we're all in this together, and I think they're always going to be, things that you're not going to always hold hands, but if you can walk down the same side of the street together.
Right.
And we've already been involved in, Mike Tucker's been part of the discussions about how to get the Ferry Street Bridge, fixed.
Yes.
Which has made some progress. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a solution. We just need a faster one.
Mm.
He's been involved with the Redburn project. And there's not any, from the point of view of the development agencies, there's no push-pull there at all. We just want to, work in,
right.
in cooperation.
Well, I've always said Hudson is a city in the country. I mean, we have the best of both worlds, and I hope the rest of the county sees it that way, because I know there when I first came here, people were afraid to come to the city. They said it was dangerous. And
it was certainly the case when I was here in the late 70s.
We had a reputation. But.
And the other problem was when projects were brought to Hudson from the county, the people in Hudson wanted to be in control of those projects. You know, I mean, it wasn't seen as community-based as it is now, you know, where everybody welcomes it. And, you know, it's like I have to control whatever comes into this city. And now it's not that way as much, perhaps. Right. I've also noticed there's plenty of Hudson businesses on your board. I mean, it's probably a greater representation than, I mean, they're not necessarily Hudson residents, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, we're trying to be very, you know, even-handed and involved across a wide spectrum. And, you know, I think if we can identify some successes, if we can, in the next year, you know, make some tangible difference, that it can give us the standing to tackle some really tough problems. Because I think what we bring to the table is a constituency of, you know, kind of smart, involved business people who want to drive positive change without impacting negatively the great advantages that Columbia County has. And if we have that kind of thing going for us, then I think we can tackle problems like the truck route in Hudson. I mean, you know, I can't think of a thing that has a, you know, kind of a more dimensions of positive economic impact than that. It's also a very complex problem. It involves a lot of different players. But I think with will and with strength of numbers, we can accomplish something like that.
Great. I'd love to hear about the truck route.
I don't have a solution yet.
Yeah.
One thing I want to say is that in reading this quickly today, I sense there's a lot about helping people through information and technical assistance and of that sort of thing. And I've always, it seems like, worked in information. I'm always, you know, I had an organization in the city that published.
You're an info maven.
I am. A lot of directories aimed at, you know, certain groups of
Ellen,
artists.
Of course, publishes her weekly Much To Do About whatever it's called.
Hudson.
Hudson, yeah.
Which is
Much To Do About Hudson.
Sorry, I keep forgetting. And you can get that by emailing her at Thurston.
At MHOnline.
MHOnline, you get that? So cute that you're still at MHOnline.net. That is so cute.
It does not mean that I don't want to reveal it on here.
You probably still have AOL too, right?
But if you don't get it.
I only use the name. I don't use the service.
Okay. But if you don't get it, you're out of the loop.
Absolutely.
Right. So I'm always happy to see that there are going to be other people that are shoveling the information around.
Ooh. It's so much of that's, you know, important. The other thing that I just, you know, want to say is that I think it needs to be an expressed purpose of economic development in a place like Columbia County to work to be sure that the positive impacts of economic development affect every stratum of the society. You know, we have a poverty problem in Hudson, obviously. We have a rural poverty problem in the rest of the county. You're not going to become a social service agency at Columbia Economic Development, but we have to think about schools and the quality of the schools.
And transportation
and housing.
Right.
You know, because all these things are necessary components to being able to grow the economic activity that's here already and to bring suitable additional economic activity here. And those affect the, you know, the locals in positive ways. And I think that's just always as part of our agenda.
Just one more question quickly. It says here under Pillar 2, the infrastructure, about exploring the desire for and possible siting of a nameplate hotel. Do you mean a big chain hotel that can hold conferences?
Yes.
And be big enough to do that?
Yeah, we have wonderful boutique hotels here, and that's certainly part of the appeal of Hudson and so forth. But I think I think lots of people feel that there is potential, particularly perched here at the, we are right off the side of the Amtrak tracks to host small conventions, conferences, and so forth that bring people to stay here for a period of time where we get much more economic impact from them.
Has the group that won the contract or whatever for the old CAS building been in contact with you yet?
No, we have not. Yeah, that's still in its very earliest stages.
Yeah, which is kind of curious. How long does it take for that? I mean, that takes a long. It's a long process.
Yeah,
right?
It would be a long process. But these processes, I mean, it's a balancing act because from the developer's point of view, it can't take forever.
You know,
it's got to get done. But
that's what the Redburn people were telling me recently.
But the community's point of view, it can't be rammed down their throats.
Right.
You know, it's got to be a process that allows, for the expression of people's opinions, and often they're accommodated in creative ways, and then move on. But we can't have the kind of situations where everybody just wants to put brakes on everything. You know, there is an attitude among some people that, you know, I got here and this is wonderful. I don't want it to change one iota because this is I found
fess up, Ellen.
That's the way I feel.
Fess up, Ellen. Yeah, I know. You and your posse. It's like, hey, we got here 20 years ago and that's the way it should stay.
I think immigrant groups often think that way. Like, when the people from East Hampton started to come, we got all excited. Thought, we don't want those East Hamptoners here. Sorry
we
to
certainly
anybody
don't
who
want
came
to turn
that
this
way.
Into the Hamptons.
It's been discussed. The other thing under Pillar 2 is explore ideas for development of projects using the Hudson waterfront, including supporting or partnering with groups developing plans for projects, which is... I don't know if you know, a new waterfront committee has been formed to try to.
Right.
And speaking of conflicts of interest, we should mention
forward.
That you and I are both on that committee.
That's it.
Oh, that's
Hello?
Right. You
Hello?
Are.
Hello, Ellen, wake up.
I forgot there were other appointments besides the first group. So
we should definitely be inviting you in.
Yeah.
If we're going to actually talk about a real plan and revising the LWRP, if that's going to be part of it as well,
yeah,
we need the county involved.
Yeah, we do.
Because this is the county's waterfront.
Right.
Well, I think it's probably the largest economic development resource for both
exactly.
the city and the county.
Right.
And we both have a stake in it.
Yeah. For a while there, when they were talking about maybe closing the correctional facility, we had our eye on that piece of property because that would be
I think that would be
wonderful.
Marvelous.
But you wanted to make it a casino, Ellen. That was a terrible idea.
Well, I don't know about that.
You just bring the riverboats up. Use the old cement plant conveyor belt to get them over there.
Well, I mean, she wouldn't have to take those buses to Atlantic City anymore. Okay, I got to cut you all off because we're at the top of the hour.
That's right.
And we have to tell everybody who we are and then play the news. We are WGXC. 90.7 FM on your dial. Our guest has been, we've been talking to for the last hour, to Tony Jones of Rojan Publishing, who is the chairman of the CEDC, the Columbia Economic Development Committee.
Corporation.
Committee, whatever. anyway, here's the news with Philip Grant.